delight to be at this church because it's a church that's staying the course. Amen. You know, churches are a lot like ships, only this is not a pleasure cruise. If you're a good church like this, you're a battleship. And a lot of the enemy's aiming at churches like this today. And so thank God you and your pastor and the staff are staying the course. And that's always refreshing. Now that I'm starting to visit a lot of churches, no longer pastoring, I finished pastoring in January. And I haven't been back to the church. We're planning to stay there, but I wanted to give the new pastor who worked for me for 28 years, Rob Catuto, give him some time without him feeling like I was breathing down his neck or anything. And so I haven't been back, so I told Brother Crawford maybe he could be my pastor for a little while because I need a pastor. We haven't even been inside the building. So it's a new experience for me and for my wife as well. But thank God for the Heritage Baptist Church, the influence that it has had and still having and will continue to have. One of my favorite times of the year for the almost 50 years that I've pastored has been always Mother's Day because I felt like if I could encourage mothers that I would have accomplished something that would pay dividends, that would help the church, it would help the children and all that. I don't know, I don't have any facts about this, but I would thank mothers probably if they're godly mothers, good mothers, I'm sure they have some of the greatest burdens on their mind all the time if they have children and then become grandmothers and things like that. And I've never met a man that wished he could be a mother. And you know, you think about it, most fathers, husbands, have some distractions, some hobbies, some friends, things they do, you know, just kind of get away once in a while. But mothers don't, there's not many mothers that have that opportunity. And if they do, they're still worried, aren't they? Mothers, if she's a good mother, I mean, I know we shouldn't worry, but we all do things we shouldn't do when it comes to worrying. And mothers, at least the wife of my children, are always concerned and worrying and praying and calling and checking on our children. Isn't it something the modern day mothers today don't even know where their children are or what they're doing? And it's a heartbreaking thing. I preached last year, my final Mother's Day sermon as a pastor, I preached on how to smother your mother. And basically was smothering her with love and understanding and encouragement and kindness. But today, I'm speaking to fathers on Mother's Day. And a lot of mothers fail because they don't have the support of their husbands. A lot of fathers today just say, you take care of that. I got to go to work. Well, that's not really God's plan. But it is interesting that the Bible tells a husband to love his wife. It doesn't say lead his wife. I've had a lot of men over the years say, preacher, can I talk with you? My wife won't follow me. I'm just failing as a leader. And I said, the Bible doesn't say lead your wife. It says love your wife. And they go, oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it? And if a mother is and a wife is loved the way Christ loved the church, wow, what a difference that makes. And so I want to speak to you today, and I want to give you some real practical things. I don't know if you write down things or care about doing that. That's okay. This may not be your thing. But I want to be very practical. I watched a talk show. It's been a little while back. And they had these women on there that had multiple personalities. You ever seen any of those? Multiple personalities. She had a large family. And her husband, the father, was trying to pick out a Mother's Day card. Did you ever have trouble picking out Mother's Day cards to try to find the right one? But anyway, the father just got her a card, and it said, "From all of us to all of you." She had multiple personalities. Which, you know, being a mother, you do have to be a lot of different things. A whole lot of different things. Almost like different personalities. And I want to remind you of something that you already know, but, you know, we need to sometimes, Brother Stewart always has a favorite saying, we can become oblivious to the obvious. Because everybody knows that and we forget about it. So just quickly, just look at your Bible in 1 Peter. Chapter number 3, 1 Peter chapter number 3, and verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, he had already covered the role of the wife, but he said, likewise ye husbands, and notice these words, dwell with them according to knowledge, knowing your wife, knowing the mother of your children, knowing what she cries about in the pillow at night when you don't know, knowing what excites her, knowing what burdens her, knowing what is she dealing with right now that maybe she hasn't told you about. Someone hurt her feelings, or someone said something or did something. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, we've heard a lot of jokes. No one really knows, you know, their mate like they want to sometimes, but giving honor unto the wife. Now, let me stop right there. Giving honor to the wife. What I'm going to talk about for a few minutes this morning, and put it in a nutshell, is honoring the wife, the mother of your children. Honoring your wife, listen, in front of the children. Not just in private, not just when you and her are on a date or out walking or doing whatever, but let children see their father honoring their mother. So that they can visualize, they can see it. They're not just growing up and told this is what you do. But they want to grow up and say, I want to honor my wife when they grow up, and I want to be the husband that my daddy was to my mother. And children grow up and say, you know, I had wonderful parents, and I want to be a parent like my daddy. Or like my mother. So giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And all that simply means, men, is that God didn't design men to carry some of the burdens that they have to carry because their husbands won't carry them. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that the woman is inferior. Nowhere. In fact, she's superior at being a woman. And men are superior at being men. But the weaker vessel means God designed her physically and emotionally so that she didn't have to worry about some of the things that a man should take care of. Weaker vessel, and is being heirs together of the grace of life. What's the definition of grace? Well, there's a lot of good ones out there, but grace is not just love and freedom and all the things that comes with God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. You've heard all those. But it also means divine enablement. Grace means God doesn't love you, but he also wants to help you do what he wants you to do. And so heirs together, it says, not just for the husband or the wife or the father or the mother, but heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, back up to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And you've heard many, many sermons, I'm sure, from your pastor along these lines. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, let me get in the right book here. And look at verse let's see, 14. Now, we just talked about men and their role, their leadership role. And the Bible says, love your wife, she'll follow you. Obey your wife, being the spiritual head. Christ is the head of the man, right? And the man, the husband, is the head of the wife. We've heard all that. But here in 1 Timothy, he says, I will, verse 14, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children. What's the next three words? Are you with me? Guide the what? Guide the house. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. It's interesting that God says, I didn't design men to guide the house. I designed men to protect and to provide and to love their family and their wife, the mother of their children. But most men, and I know a lot of things have changed now. A lot of women are working, have to work, and all the stuff that's going on in our nation, in the world. But God intended, while the man was doing the work that he should do, that she would guide the house. That's her job, to guide the children, guide the house. That doesn't mean the men relinquish their responsibility and don't do anything, just work and come home and eat and watch television and go to bed. No, it doesn't mean that he's aloof, that he doesn't really have a clue what's going on. But a woman, a wife, and a mother in particular is to guide the house. And it says, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And look in verse 15, for some, who's that? Women, wives, mothers, are already turned aside. This is strong, look at this, after Satan. Now think about it. Now this was 2,000 years ago, that even back then, mothers and wives were turning aside. They weren't staying the course. They weren't following the role. They turned aside. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. After Satan, because Satan hates godly women, godly wives, godly mothers, because there's nothing in this world that has and should have more influence on children than a mother. As much influence as the father wants to have and should have, he doesn't stay, especially when they're little. He doesn't have the time. But a mother's with those kids 24/7. Am I right? And so she has the most influence. That was God's design, those formative years, to have the most influence. And that is why Satan, sometimes, most of the time, would rather attack and discourage and defeat and hurt the mother of your children than you, because she has the most influence. Now, I'm not diminishing you men and your influence and your responsibility, because ultimately you're going to have to give an account of your family, not your wife. God's going to hold men accountable. He's going to hold men accountable for the trouble our nation is in. Christian men. But we've become so passive. And Satan says, they don't have a clue what's going on at home. I'm going to focus my attention on the wife and the mother of children. That's why it says so many have turned aside after Satan. Now, that was 2,000 years ago. Is any of that going on today? Are there any mothers and wives turning away from their responsibilities, going after the world and the money and popularity and on and on and on? And children left to raise themselves. And the Bible says a child left to himself will bring great sorrow. Who's raising the children today? The internet. They can see anything they want to see. And you think you can stop them? There's ways. kids can see anything they want to see, watch anything they want to watch, listen to anything they want to listen to. It's a challenge, isn't it, to have a Christian home in an unchristian nation? Our nation is not a Christian nation. I know politicians have argued that and all that. I understand about our forefathers, and we certainly have been blessed more than any nation. But America is not a Christian nation. She has kicked God out many years ago. And she's just tolerating Christians like you and me for a while. I don't think it'd be much longer. They won't tolerate them anymore. The rapture may come about that time. But God knows what's going on, and He's in control, so you don't have to worry. All you have to do is stay faithful. That's the only thing God requires of a steward, is that a man be found faithful. So if you'll be faithful, you'll be successful. Let me give you just a few things, and they're very easy to understand. And in fact, it may think, well, that's kind of duh, obvious. But again, sometimes we forget them. So I want to give you some simple practical things so that you can help your wife to succeed in mothering your children. Number one, I touched on it a moment ago, but if you want to write it down, listen, express your love to your wife, the mother of your children, in front of your children. Children should see their father hugging their mother, kissing her on the cheek or on the lips, doesn't matter. I mean, a husband and wife, of course, have that their private relationship time together, but it does something for children and even teenagers to see their dad express, because love that is not expressed is useless. I don't care how much you love your wife, your children, your church, your pastor, your best friend, even if they know you love them, if you don't express it, it doesn't do them any good. It doesn't do any good. Your kids may know that you love their mother, if they never see any affection, it doesn't do any good. Let me remind you something. Children are constantly taking notes mentally. What they see and hear, they'll never forget. Lessons and visuals. Most young men and women today do not know how to love each other because they have seen so few examples. Now, number two, I'm going to go quickly and try to stop right at 10:35. But number two, discipline the children in love, of course, together. Don't have a family where daddy does the discipline only and mom's never involved, or that mother, and that's where most of the time the mother has to do the discipline, because dad's busy or he's out with whatever. And a lot of women in little kids' minds become the bad guy, become the villain. They're more afraid of mama than they are daddy. And we can kind of smile at that because most of us can kind of relate to that. Our mothers, because dad was at work and mama would, she would whip the daylights out of us. And then she'd say, wait till your dad gets home. So we got double. That's pretty old fashioned. And today you'll go to prison if you discipline your children in the wrong way, in the wrong place. And nothing in the Bible. Listen, there's no excuse for anybody to abuse children. And when the Bible speaks of disciplining children, it never condones abuse. Right. Amen. Never. God provided a place that will, it'll hurt, but it'll heal. Okay? God, children should never be struck in their face or parts of their body. Amen. And you should always do it in love, not out of blowing up in anger. You know, when we say discipline children, did you know the word discipline comes from disciple, right? That's the word disciple. And the word disciple means to learn. Question. When you discipline your children, or even spank your children, did they learn anything?
Good.
Or are they just glad it's over? And do they continue to do it again and again and again? Something's wrong when you have to discipline. I keep tripping over that. Let me turn a little bit. Something's wrong when you have to keep disciplining your children over and over for the same thing. Because they're not getting the lesson. Yeah. Listen. God never punishes his children. He punishes unsaved people, and he punishes people that the nations that leave God out. But God doesn't punish us. He disciplines us.
Amen.
He's trying to teach us something because he loves us so much. And kids should see that mom and dad agree on the discipline. If that doesn't happen, then children will play the parents against each other. They'll know they can get away with some things with dad, but other things with mom. And that's not a good situation when you start taking sides, your kids. And if you say, well, your mom shouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that. Can you imagine what that does to the minds of kids? Mom was wrong, dad's right, or dad was wrong, mom was right. A mother and father, should be together. If you disagree on something about that, talk that over privately. Don't talk it over. Don't argue in front of your kids. Get that settled in private.
Amen.
I'm giving you some practical things. Number three, which it's kind of underneath this, never take sides with children against the mother, because it wreaks havoc. Number four. This one may make you squirm a little bit, maybe not. But help your mother, the mother of your children. Help the mother of your children. Or your mother, if you're a young person, you're not married, you still have a mother. Help mother with daily chores. It angers me when men never lift a finger to help their wives. You say, well, that's not manly. It's more manly than you think. God never intended the woman to be the slave in your house. Now, she's better at cleaning than I am, my wife. I never clean it good enough, but I help her. We make up the bed together. Most of the time, unless she insists, most of the time, either I wash, she dries, or she washes and I dry. I'm not saying every single meal, but I'm just saying I don't walk out of the room and let her clean up the mess. You say, well, I do. Well, that's between you and the Lord and her. But I just have a problem with that.
Good.
You don't have to agree with me. That's okay. If it works for you, fine. But don't treat her like a slave. Share the responsibilities. Leadership in a home is a servant leadership. It's not commanding your wife and kids to do something. It's saying, follow me. I'll set the example. I'm going to help. Come on, let's all help. That's how you lead your family. You don't put your foot down and scream orders like a drill sergeant. It'll make children and your wife bitter. They may continue to do what... Isn't it a shame? I don't want to get sidetracked here. But my heart breaks for women that have to live with a man that abuses and orders and screams at her, and where's my tea? What's taking so long? Get that pizza out of the oven, that kind of stuff. A lot of women live under that kind of pressure. Not everyone. In fact, most women are just the opposite nowadays. They don't do anything. It's every man for himself. But in Christian ranks, unfortunately, a lot of men thinks it got this idea that if you're the head of the wife, it means you're the boss and you carry a whip. And you make them. Make them in subjection. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches a servant leadership. Number five, I got to hurry. Number five, help her. When I'm speaking to her, I'm talking about your wife. And if you have children, the mother of your children. Or maybe you will be having children, if God permits it, in the future. Or you young men, maybe a few years from now, who knows? It's hard when you're a young guy to kind of picture yourself maybe in those situations, but most young men, if they're normal, what's normal, right? They want to have a home. They want to have a nice house. They want to have a new car. They want to live for God. They want to enjoy life. That's the way God made it. He wants you to enjoy it. He's given us all things to enjoy. We don't have to wait until we die and go to heaven before we can smile and enjoy life. God can give us a joyful life down here and then in heaven too. But help her to feel secure. That is still, after all these years, and I've been preaching on the family for 50 years, and the number one in surveys of women, their greatest needs is they want security. They're afraid if something happens to my husband, if he dies or he becomes paralyzed in some accident or he leaves me, how am I going to take care of myself? And a lot of women worrying about the economy, worrying about things going on in our world and the dangers and the threats and all this stuff. And a lot of mothers and wives live in fear. And the greatest thing you can do for your family is by the grace and help of God to say everything's going to be all right. God's going to take care of us. Don't worry. Secure financially. And, you know, you don't have to be a millionaire to be secure financially. If you will tithe, that's the minimum. If you'll obey God with the tithe and you will honor God with offerings, what's Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? We'll go up a couple of verses before. Take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. Most wives worried about what they're going to put on. But basically, God says, you don't need to worry. If you'll honor me, I'll take care of you and your family. There's no greater security than that. You see, when a man doesn't tithe and give and honor the church, he's hurting his family. He's not just hurting himself. He's robbing. You rob God, but a lot of men are robbing their own family. You say, well, our family's doing okay. Yeah, but could they do better? Could God bless them even more if you would trust God and honor God with your life? Yeah. Number six, talk to the mother of your children kindly and with respect. Don't talk down to your wife in front of the children. Build her up. Compliment. I've never met a woman who was over-complimented. And by the way, maybe the reason she doesn't compliment you very much is because you don't compliment her very much. Compliment her. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's not talking just about money. If you want kindness, be kind. If you want to have friends, be friendly. Right? What you sow, you will reap. And when you will put your wife on a pedestal and honor her and respect her and love her and speak in a kind tone. Have I always done that? No. I haven't always done that. There's been times when I would say something or my facial attitude or my tone of my voice wasn't what it ought to be. And I'd have to say, honey, I didn't mean that. I said that in the wrong way, or I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, sometimes us men come up with every excuse we can, but we just have to realize, hey, I blew it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But talk to her in a good tone and let your children hear how a man, a husband, is supposed to talk to his wife. Let them hear that. And to their mother. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. It's one of the biggest lies the devil ever told. Hurt, sticks and stones will bruise you, and those bruises will heal and disappear most of the time. But words will inflict wounds that'll last for a lifetime. That ought to scare the pants off of you guys, and me too. To think that something we said and our children heard it, and they'll never forget it. We're all going to slip up and fail once in a while, and that's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we apologize and hug our wives, mothers of our children, it helps. It helps a lot. Number 7, make decisions with the mother of your children so that your children do not assume that she's always in charge. It shouldn't always be whatever daddy wants. I guess that's what we'll have to do, you know, if daddy ain't happy, or just the opposite. Well, I wish we could, hey, mama, can we? Why don't they go to daddy? Well, sometimes they do, and what does daddy do? Ask your mother. She makes all the decisions around here. Well, that shouldn't be true. That shouldn't be that way. But it don't have to always be your way or her way. I'm saying together. Do it together. Number 8, and I think I mentioned most of this early, so we'll go real quick. Don't order her to do things. Use good manners. Number 9, be positive. I could speak an hour on the power of being positive in your home instead of always negative. Probably ain't going to work. This isn't going to happen. Negative, critical. Why do they do that? I don't want to get into politics, but I don't personally, now, I hope I'm not getting out of bounds here, but I'm not happy with a lot of the leadership in our White House. Probably like many of you, but be careful. Be careful on running down our leaders in front of your children. Just be careful. You can do it in the right way. Children need to know right from wrong, and when our leaders are leading our country in the wrong direction, nothing wrong with trying to explain that to your children. But if you're always down on America and always down, you know, a lot of people criticize the church in front of their children. Can you believe the preacher said that today? Well, that was the stupidest thing I ever heard. And 3 kids in the back seat, their ears wide open. Boy, that was the worst song I ever heard the choir sing. I don't know why they do that. I don't know what's going on up there. Sometimes parents will talk like that in front of the kids. Sometimes around Sunday dinner, they'll have roast preacher. Be positive. Let your wife and kids say, hey, Dad says we can do this. This is going to be okay. This is going to be great. Yeah, we've got some problems, but we'll get through it. Not, oh, great, we're goners now. We're dead in the water. It's all over. I'm exaggerating, of course, to make the point. But a lot of families are very, especially Christian families, they ought to be the most positive people in America, in the world. I mean, we've got so much to look forward to, and God, no matter what happens, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and that all things work together. Did you know that includes what's going on out there in the world? All things work together for good. Not all things are good. It says all things work together for good. To them that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Dad, you ought to come in to the home from work, or if you're retired, come in the house from wherever you are and say, isn't God good? God took care of us today, kids. Honey, isn't it wonderful to be? You say, that sounds a little strange. I know, it's awkward when you don't do it very much. It feels awkward to stand in front of your family and just say, praise the Lord. God took care of this. Kids, did you see this? Do you see what God's done for us? What a God we have. Amen. And the kids go, huh? Yeah, because they don't hear that very often. But if they get used to it, they go, boy, yeah, God is good. I'm going to serve God when I grow up too, just like Daddy and just like Mama. I want to have a home like, I want our home to be just like this home. Be positive. Create a positive spirit. Good music playing and good conversation and good topics. Last of all, I'm going to be right on time. Are you impressed? Thank you. Pray daily. You say, oh, well, I know that. Pray daily for yourself before you pray for your family. You say, I don't say that again. Pray first for yourself. Don't just start praying, Lord, straighten out my wife. Oh, Lord, take care of our children. Or Lord, say, Lord, do something in me and through me so that I can be the father and the husband and the kind of leader that I ought to be. Because you can't fake it very long, gentlemen. You can fake it for a little while, but it'll catch up with you. It'll catch up with you. And your kids won't be totally 100% convinced that the Christian life is the best life. If you always look unhappy and miserable. But pray for yourself. God, change me. And love my family through me. Amen. Did it help you any? You say, well, I knew all that, but it's still good to hear again. Well, that's fine too. I have to hear it again. I have to work on it constantly. I sometimes just get bent out of shape. I lose it every once in a while. There's no perfect mothers, no perfect fathers. We have Jesus and we have the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, love you. Thank you so much for not just saving us and leaving us on our own, but giving us a Bible and giving us the Holy Spirit and giving us good churches like this church. And Lord, there's not a man here, if he's saved, and I assume that probably most of them are saved here today. If not, I pray maybe today they'd get saved. But Father, there's not a Christian man here that doesn't want to be better, that doesn't want to improve, that wants to make his family happy and to see his family blessed of God. And so, Lord, bless the men today and bless our mothers. Lord, this is Mother's Day. It's not Father's Day. It's Mother's Day. And we need to honor our mothers while we have them. And Lord, encourage the wives of our children. Lord, this church will be even greater if they have great families in it, happy families. Not families that don't ever have problems, but families, Lord, who can work through their problems with God and with the help of God. And Lord, bless the service to follow today. Lord, I pray that you would just fill the pastor with your Holy Spirit, give him liberty. And Lord, may we all be tuned in and ready to respond. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.